Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The music was jazz, not rock and roll. But the so-called funeral the band threw for itself in Hollywood was also vintage Motley Crue. The crew is now launching a two-year world tour. But in front of cameras Tuesday, they signed a formal cessation of touring agreement, saying this is their final tour, not a so-called farewell tour.
It's just kind of known in the music industry that a farewell tour means for now. We just didn't want that farewell word even around. It stinks.
The phrase savvy businessmen is not something you think of when someone says Motley Crue.
But if it's not the final tour, I'll go see the next one too. So I don't really care.
They, doesn't matter.
But you asked for a refund for the first one.
They have a contract. They can't break the contract.
I don't want a refund. If they tour 10 more times, I'll see all 10 tours.
Let me put it this way. If that happens, I will invite the world to come for free.
In 2014, Motley Crue announced their final tour, putting an end to almost 35 years on the road. To make it official, they signed an unprecedented contract.
You know I'm a dreamer.
In the years since, Motley Crue became more popular than ever and gained an entirely new legion of fans who, along with diehard crew heads, demanded the band tear up that stupid contract and come out of retirement. They knew that if they were ever to stand on stage together again, that contract would have to be destroyed. Well, destruction has never been an issue for Motley Crue. Yeah!
Nike high, on speed. Just feel pretty cops over me. My heart, what out? Now we got the cops, heaven me. Midnight, 103 in my heart. What out?
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, a part of the Decibel Geek and Uncontrolled Noise Radio Network. This week we say goodbye to some of our favorite bands while one we thought was dead comes back.
Fire. I'm your host, Bruce Cannon, and I am joined, as always, and reunited with Baco. How are you, sir?
It feels so good, Lewis. I'm well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for asking. I'm calling in from the Cobra Mobile Studio, and I am happy, as always.
Yeah, and I know we're going to talk in a little bit, but I want to say one of the reasons I'm so happy is the feedback we've gotten to our recent episode. Of course, we talk about Kiss, the numbers spike. But more than that, just the fact that a lot of people seem to, that are a little newer to the show, were very kind and got the jokes and didn't take it too serious. So, but we're going to touch on that a little bit just to kind of recap some things that have happened since the episode came out. But how are things in Denver, Colorado?
They're good. Yeah, I mean, I just daily life is always challenging for me, and things come up that confuse me. And I was just wanted to get your opinion on this, and that is. My son is coming up with some what I call valid points, which scares me when he gets older. Son, you can't do drugs. And he'll tell me, isn't alcohol a drug? And that'll be a problem. But this is one of the things he brought up is we're sitting at dinner, and it doesn't matter how many fucking utensils we put in front of my children, they just decided to start eating with their hands. And one of the things they started eating with their hands was like a little roast of potatoes. And they put seasoning on them, little chunks.
Okay.
Just pick them up instead of using a fork. And he said, Dad, why? He goes, I could pick up French fries, and those are potatoes. And these are even smaller. And then it got me thinking, there are some pretty fucked up rules about what we can pick up with our hands and what we can't. And I just wanted to see, what do you see in your world of what is the code? What can you pick up and what can't you and why?
Man, and how old is Luce the Third?
He's 9 years old.
Okay, I'm just trying to get myself in the right mindset. I'm going to have to move ahead.
No, not with him. I'm talking about now. I want to
experience it through his eyes a little bit, if that's all right. But so what is that? the first thing that came to my mind when I thought about that is that like our parents, like our generation, like our parents. They did not struggle at all with the because I told you so. That it seems like that we do. Seems like we want to rationalize and be right.
Let me stop you there for a second, Bucko. I'm not saying what the right answer is for my kid. The immediate answer was use your fork and knife, or I'll take away all your toys and burn them.
Okay.
That was an issue. I just opened up a little light bulb saying, "Hell, why are French fries okay? Because they're greasy as all get out.
Fair enough.
These potatoes are no different. But somehow we have a culture of doing that, and we also, chicken tenders or fingers, are those a fork and knife? Because they're past nuggets, or do you cut them, or do you pick up the big fucking things?
Boy, this is actually a bit of a quandary. The thing is, like, for me, it has a lot to do with what Baco I am. Am I at lunch from work Baco, or am I out to dinner with at a nice place Baco? My manner is drastically changed depending on where I'm eating, how much time I got, how much I spent, all that kind of good stuff. I would say if a meal was prepared properly and it's traditionally thought of to use a fork and knife, yeah, that's what you do. And that's good enough for me as far as why. But yeah, you got a point. Because my first thought was like, well, I mean, those potatoes are going to be a little messy. You get shit on your fingers. Just use a knife and fork. But yeah, you do it with fucking French fries. And yeah, the chicken tender, that is kind of
it's an in-between. It just
is it though? Because if you get a bucket of chicken, who grabs a chicken leg and uses a knife and fork? You're using that chicken bone as a damn utensil.
I'm talking about chicken tenders as in fried.
Right, but I'm saying the chicken tender would be between the chicken nugget and a box of KFC, and I would put all three under finger food.
And when is it okay to walk around with a turkey leg with a big a paper towel in my hand?
It has to be outdoor. You have to be walking on grass, and they have to be selling a wide variety of asshole beers for a minimum of $9.50 apiece.
So you can't walk around the mall with a turkey leg in your mouth.
That'd be gross.
While shopping?
No, okay. I mean that might hit the mall floor, which only gets mopped three times a day. You want it somewhere where there's a chance of like actual dog shit being near where it falls. So
there's not a clear definition, is what I'm saying. And
yeah,
I think the only rule is if there's some kind of bread vessel, like be it a taco or a. Obviously, bread. Anything that has bread is perfectly acceptable. Anything in between.
I'm going to start eating toast with a knife and a fork. From here on and forward, it's just the way it is. I'm going to be like George Costanza with a candy bar.
Okay, all right. And one last thing too. First off, Fire Hut Cheetos and Doritos in general. I think going forward, you should use tongs on those motherfuckers.
I know exactly where you're going with that. Yeah,
you're left with nothing but just red and orange dust. They should come in with a coupon for a dry cleaner inside the box.
Oh man, and what's the proper age to never eat those again?
I gotta believe
we both passed it, but I guarantee the next time somebody has a bag of those fuckers out there, my hand's gonna get at least a couple of them. It's literally weird too. Like the Cool Ranch Doritos aren't so bad, but the regular nacho and the spicy one, it's like oh, I'm just gonna grab one, and you barely touch it, and then all of a sudden you're basically wearing a glove of fucking dust, you know. And same with those fucking flaming hot Cheetos, man.
You basically have to go to the bathroom and grab a thing of lava soap painting.
We have that at work. That pumice gojo stuff. It's like, well, I had two Doritos. I'll be back in 5 minutes after I'm done scrubbing up. It's like doctors don't wash their hands as much as I do after eating a fucking flaming hot Cheeto.
So that's what I say. For going forward, we'll finish this segment, but I say that for one move towards improving society, just like your man that's going to start pronouncing things cupboards, you know, be a Cobra hero, and next time you serve Doritos or flaming hot Cheetos, have a thing of tongs laying right next to it. All right, so moving on from hand and food etiquette.
We do have an announcement for all the listeners, so beep, 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 back it up. I don't know what that – I don't even know why I did that. Of course, Christmas is coming up, and we will once again be opening your – the listener's presents. So please email loosebaco@gmail.com. Any type of present you would like to get us for Christmas, and we will open that virtual present on an upcoming episode, just like we did last Christmas. So just a reminder, we're not actually asking you to send us gifts. This is kind of a virtual thing we'll have fun with. Use your imagination. Imagine if time, money, and the actual willingness to do it didn't matter. Just type in loosebaco, that's LOOSEBAKKO, loosebaco, @gmail.com, and send us the present that you want us to open, and then we'll open them on the show. We'd like to keep it a little bit of a surprise for all the listeners and ourselves, so that when we open them up, we just have a little fun with it. So please just send it there, and we'll look forward to opening them.
I'm really surprised that loosebaco @gmail wasn't already taken.
Hey! Well, no one called my sister Baco.
Well, that's not where I was going. This is the most recent.
That's why she's not a regular listener. Can they? And if for some reason you don't like email, you can also just message us on the Cobras and Fire Facebook page. Not the group page, the Facebook page. So go ahead and send us a message that way. We'll get it there, too. It's all good. Just basically we want to keep it off the main feed. So
Yes.
All right. But you can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/CobrasAndFire. We are also on Twitter. Our handle is @CobrasFire. So please check us out there and give us a like, follow us on Twitter. You can also join the Facebook group Cobras on Fire and connect with other listeners like yourself and share all sorts of fucked up shit. And occasionally we share some exclusive content, but occasionally we've done it once and it was about a month ago. So yeah, but you know, we'll try to put special nuggets in there. We do certain things as far as teasing episodes that don't always make the page, but we've actually put up some exclusive content there too. And, of course, your best way to find all of these places is by going to our fancy-ass website, cobrasandfire.com. Luce, what if they want to buy one of those bot T-shirts? Is there a way they can do that?
Well, sure, yeah. You can go to cobrasandfire.com/store or shop tab right in the top there, and you will find a selection of you know, different things, such as a box of Cobras that's there still, getting a little dusty. But you've got, for $10, you can get a Cobras and Fire Rockin' Pod Expo 3 exclusive T-shirt. Free shipping to your home.
That's half the cost of a Pods and Sods T-shirts, which don't give you free shipping.
Nope, that's correct. So it's not on some Gildan bullshit T-shirt either that you use to change your oil and things like that. It is a next level 60/40 blend T-shirt that is soft to the touch and also very sleek. Additionally, like I said, it's $10. I have a
$10.
I have a closet full. Please take them for me.
All right. And if you're listening right now, we would love to get more reviews and comments regarding the show. There's all sorts of places. If you're on Apple Podcasts, I think even Podcast Addict has a way you can do it. But just find us, hit us on Facebook, give us a review, tell us what you think. We'll try to start reading more of those as they come in. Because, always remember, reviews are, what is it, Aaron Camaro? Awesome. Like I mentioned in the intro there, we've had a lot of really good, we've had a lot of really positive feedback almost right out of the gate from the What About Bob episode. What did you think? I mean, I've actually had some time to marinate a little more on all the happenings, and as much as I thought we covered it, there might be a couple things that you wanted to touch on as far as like Bob.
Well, yeah, I mean, just in general, I mean, I really enjoy the conversation, you know, just doing it, but then actually listening back to it, I learned a lot more about Winston Churchill and that Lemmy was a pirate. And I've just never heard any grown man call another person Dumbo since actually watching the movie Dumbo.
Oh,
so
man.
those sound clips. Thank you, Jimmy Kay of the Metal Voice, correct?
Yes,
for allowing us the pleasure of adding those. My God!
Hey, full disclosure on that too. I told you, I was like, I'm not sure how well he knows our show, so I'm not sure what he just agreed to, but I was very pleased that him and I had a little exchange Through Messenger, talking about it. So, yeah, no, he got the, he was all cool with it. He thought it was hilarious. You know, he thought it was funny. That's all. I don't want to misquote the guy as all, but he was cool with it. And thanks again, yeah. Jimmy. Obviously, if you need to chop up and misrepresent anything we do, feel free.
Yeah, I just had one question too. Is I was just imagining the restraining order that he and his brother have. Now, what would happen if, you know, Bruce and Bob were walking down the street because they have to stay 50 yards away from each other at all times?
Whatever.
What would be the etiquette if somebody's walking towards each other? It seems from the distance.
Bruce just keeps yelling at him, "Back up, Bob!" You know, I messaged Sinzak that he should have Bob at the expo. I'm like, please, please, please. He's like, no chance. I'm like, you could have him and Bruce, and then you just keep moving Bruce around the room, and then you keep it. You have someone whose job it is to keep telling Bob he's got to move because of the restraining order.
Yeah, or you actually do have the Kulik brothers playing. You just have to have a 50-foot stage.
Oh, God. His wireless units are on opposite ends of the room.
I mean, Gene and Paul could have restraining orders on each other because they don't move and they stay in a wide enough stage.
There was a third interview that Julian Gill did that I started listening to, but I'm like, there can't be anything more, and boy, was I wrong. I will say this. He came the closest, but nobody has really gotten a straight answer on what was the cause of the restraining order, so I'm still not sure there. But, yeah, if you haven't listened to the Julian Gill one, it's next level, I think, because, you know, he doesn't eat during this one, but there is a point where he gets up and basically walks to the back of the room, and he's, you know, using a global mic that's sitting on a desk. So he, of course, gets a little more faint, and he's kind of like this, and he's just like, and he talks about all sorts of, oh God, what was the bit that he had? Anyway, look, it's just worth it. There's just all sorts of new nuggets, and as much as everybody that's interviewed him has been polite, nobody's been politer than Julian Gill, well, of course, you know.
Happy old Pip.
Happy old Pip. He did a great job. And of course, Bob is the gift that keeps on giving. My Lord, that guy is...
I think that this is what I'll just call his Charlie Sheen winning phase.
Nice.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, yeah.
He's winning. Just going off.
There's Dumbo. Yeah, there's one point where he says poop instead of shit. And then goes off on a fucking F-bomb expletive, you know. It's just like, oh, what the hell? All that kind of poop.
Yeah. So that's all I have there. I look forward to your future interview with Bob that you'll set up and ask him the same question you asked before about did he have hair when he auditioned for Kiss and have him hang up on you.
How many requests for interviews has Bruce Kulik ignored?
Exploded. I guarantee his inbox.
Anything from him, you know, people are reaching out to him. Fuck.
He's like, I tried to promote my album 2 years ago. Nobody gave a fuck. Now they just want to talk to me all the time.
Oh, man, it's just got to be like, what the fuck? I'm not going to talk about this. Maybe he will. That'd be great. Bruce, you got an open invite. I sent you the video of the news coverage of the whole shark thing, too, that we touched on. I got to get your thoughts on this. My one sentence review is even stupider than I thought.
Oh my God. Let me tell you this. I was shocked at what I saw. And it takes a lot for me to get shocked.
Because the expectation level was really low. Like, this is going to be dumb as hell no matter what. And it was
worse.
I'm with you. I was too.
Even worse, to take an album title from Weird Al Yankovic. I mean, we were talking about the fact that here's what I saw in my head, which was already stupid, was they would be on top of an actual boat, like a yacht of some type. Okay, they would have cameras set up, they'd have their silly smoke machines and lights in the middle of the day, which you could hardly, it's pretty much have no point. They'd do their little show and zip around, and that would be it. But instead of what I described, what was the actual boat and setup?
Well, if you've ever seen Jaws, it's the boat that they went out to capture Jaws. And if you remember the scene where Jaws, that's what the boat is. And then if you remember the scene where Jaws comes out of the water and starts eating the back end of the boat, that's where Kiss was playing. And I was actually rooting for Jaws to come out of the water. But apparently,
I mean,
Jaws wasn't the only shark that didn't show up, by the way. Did you hear about that?
no shark showed up.
Yeah, my God. The whole thing. But
also the fact that they had a film crew that were attached to this other boat by ropes. Okay?
Yeah.
I was imagining the entire time. I wish that they would just, I don't know if you saw that, but if when they panned to the side, you could actually see Tommy Lee driving the boat with his dick.
Doesn't suck.
Why was Gene like when they get on the in the news story? They walk up there, and it's Eric, and he's like, "Hey, were you the kid I met last night?" And the kid really wants to say yes, but it's not him. And that was kind of this awkward exchange. And then he's like, "Do you want my picture?" He's like, "Well, I got a picture with Gene." and then for some reason, Gene's wearing a Kiss bathrobe. Like boarding the boat, all dressed up as Gene, but he's got a bathrobe on. What the hell was that all about?
I didn't see that part, but all I can tell you is that I was just waiting for the captain to make like a bad turn and one of them to just fall right over. I mean, the whole thing was preposterous.
I saw PAWL Paul Stanley tweeted that, "Just for the record, I'm not sick. I'm just not playing for fucking sharks."
He is definitely, I mean, you talk about a time you're going to call in sick. That's when you play that card.
I've like called in sick twice the last 46 years, and this is one of them.
Yeah, and that's using the sick card. That's card with a K.
Well, we should get into the show.
Please.
One of the things that I sent you that we needed to get into is that, I don't know, did you get a chance to look at it, that Sebastian Bach is running into more travel plans or problems as far as, like, getting around this time? It's not with Uber, it's with Delta Airlines.
Ooh, good. I'm surprised he's not flying Spirit.
He went on Twitter on blast, just like he did with the Uber issue he had. So maybe Rachel Bolan is now a flight attendant on Delta. he's just taking jobs to stay just ahead of Sebastian's travel plan.
Hold on. Just want to make sure you know this. Delta's dress code does not allow nose up.
All right. Well, how about I read some of these tweets? I'm going to try to keep them in order, but I can't promise that I have them in the right pattern. Okay.
Do you mind if we just have Sebastian call in and read them live?
Hey, Delta, your first class ticket doesn't mean shit. Thanks for treating me like complete garbage after 45 shows. You suck.
So okay. I don't know. Was he traveling by Delta the whole time for 45 shows, or is he finally at the end and he's just banking on Delta to get him home?
Say that again.
Was he like happy with Delta for 44 flights, and it's now the 45th flight, the end of the tour, and that sucks? Like, hey, way to pick this one to suck. Or has he just like now he hasn't been flying Delta? He's just using Delta to go home after the tour, and is he unhappy? Mm. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think it has to do with the combination of the 44 flights and how many dog beers he had.
Well, do you want to hear Delta's reply to that?
Please. Oh, yes. What voice does Delta have?
It'd just bong, like an overhead. Like imagine you're on a plane and they're like, they just got the captain just got the tweet.
I'm like, is the captain drunk?
Hello there. I do apologize for your most recent travel experience. If I can offer any assistance or if you would like to discuss further, please send a direct message with your ticket number and confirmation code from this travel.
Okay. And then what was Sebastian's leveled response?
OMG! It's like Uber all over again. # Lyft is the shit.
And he spells shit like Lyft with a Y for an I.
Ooh, I like it. See? I told you he's clever.
The whole thing actually started, like I said, I got a little bit out of order there. But he opened up with, "Flying sucks. I pay for a first class ticket and then get told I can't bring my carry-on into first class cabin. Flying is like pure torture. You can make it cool, but you choose not to. Give me a tour bus any day."
This sounds like his new intro, his little rap before he goes into Slave to the Grind. What do you say?
He is one of a kind, isn't he? He's just I'm not going to call him an American treasure. He is something, though.
But I'll tell you that I am really disappointed there's not more Skid Row songs that have to do with travel.
I know it would have, it really would have helped this bit out. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm really nothing. Disappointed that you didn't have alternative titles prepped for this. You know, typically you got something, you know, 18 in line to get on.
Let me think here.
You didn't like that one?
Do it again. Sorry.
18 in line to get on. 18 in line to board.
Yeah,
that's pretty weak.
We might have to workshop that a little bit.
Youth checks the bags. Youth go and check a bag. See, the problem is no matter how it doesn't work line up right there. What do you got?
I have to think.
She's got the big bags. Started the show, you opened my eyes to a band called Boba Flex, and that followed, you know, a fairly recent induction in my life anyway, to Danko Jones. And I started at that time to go down a path where I was discovering a lot of brand new bands. And I quickly assembled, I think I had a list of 7 or 8 that were basically my go-to artists for rising rock, you know, however you want to qualify it. Some of these bands that we've promoted very heavily over the years of us doing this show kind of decide to either push pause or call it quits altogether. And obviously there's reasons these things happen, and we're happy for the music they left us, but it is kind of a bummer when you see the reality of it. Would you like to address a little bit of that, Luce?
Yeah, no, it's it's just kind of just all of a sudden hit me with over the last year how right in, because we started beginning of 2015.
Yeah.
So let's call it, you know, we're coming up on 5 years. Early next year. And in that time, there are bands either started then or you became familiar with, just like you said, that are now dead, which is to say, so I'd like to just kind of call this segment Bring Out Your Dead, because that's what we have is a few bands like that to discuss.
Sure, yeah. And, but it kind of hurts the way you phrase that. You made it sound like it's my fault.
why I'm going through that is I remember it's kind of a thing where these were the bands were kind of where we started connecting was where you were pretty much kind of you're kind of done, and then these kind of like reignited the rock flame for you that there were
that was very, very, very true. Like, okay. I was just getting into Danko Jones when you reached out to me, and one of the first bands you featured was Bubble Flex, and I quickly went down the Bubble Flex rabbit hole. And from there, I met Bubble Flex. I was told to check out a band called Wilson. I went to Northern Invasion and interviewed Red Sun Rising, saw their show, got blown away. I think you played one of their songs earlier. I didn't realize it, I think, at the time, but... all sorts of stuff. Yes, it was a lot that first year, especially. It was like boom, Glorious Sons, boom, you know, all these things.
Yeah, and on my side too, with that crop of bands was the band The Biters.
Yeah,
and in summary, all four of those bands we just mentioned, Biters, Bubble Flex, Wilson, and Red Sun are done.
I don't think Red Sun's made it official, but I mean they're on.
They will.
Yeah, I mean, they probably will. I mean, they're on hiatus, and the singer is doing solo shows with, I think it's the drummer and the lead guitar player, but two guys from the band.
There's a couple things right out the gate. Bubble Flex and Wilson, perfectly rated names for bands, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. No, you have had a harder time with Bubble Flex than I have. I thought Wilson was whatever. I would have never...
Well.
If I just saw that on a list of I would have thought it was like something else. Bubble Flex, I think it's cool.
Not me. It sounds like I've said, it sounds like Nerf Herder, sounds like Weezer, but also the logo is very let's just say
I don't have a problem with Weezer, and I agree with your comparison.
Okay, but the actual logo itself is not my cup of Joe.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And you know, just that kind of stuff. So and there's general things like between. You know, Bubble Flex themselves, they self-managed, maybe didn't do it the best. they had every single element that you could possibly need to be successful, but just didn't have the push. And I think the name hindered them as well as that, because they're badass. They're catchy, hooky. You know what I mean? So I think that's part of their demise, though, is that name. And to that end, they're basically continuing on without Sean, one of the two brothers.
Yeah.
And they're calling it, I don't remember the name, but it was kind of perfectly rated for me for the next one, too.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is either. And that kind of, I remember thinking when I first saw it that I'm going to need a few cracks at this to lock this one into. It's a fairly forgettable name. I just, it might even be called The Forgotten Ones. I'm not sure.
It might be, actually.
Whatever. I'll check it out. You know, Marty is a talent. The whole band is, they're good singers, good musicians, that kind of stuff, so.
That stuff. They got stage presence. They look like rock stars. All that stuff. And then you segue over to Wilson again, a perfectly rated name. And but then you have the fact that they.
I think that's almost a. And I think it's not perfectly rated. It's a horrible name.
Okay.
I think they actually achieved some level of competence and success in spite of it. But it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean the first album. You know.
Full blast fuckery.
Yeah, I actually saw them as an opening act for another band, and I thought it was going to be like a joke band just from the album title and stuff. And then the second album, of course, is their, I'll just call it their peak.
That first press release for that record is amazing. I don't know if you still have it. But...
I remember we read it.
Five dudes with beards and big dicks in a van.
Yeah. That should have been the album title.
Yeah,
but that second album, you know, Right to Rise is so good. And then,
one of the best albums of, I don't know, at least the last decade.
Essentially, I think their career is a cautionary tale that you should never be have Smash Mouth as an influence for your third album.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I kind of get what they were going for in that. It didn't work for me. If they would have just, you know what would have helped? If they would have just had that one song that would have connected and kind of broke, it really wouldn't have mattered what the rest of the record was. And that's kind of how the industry works now. Yeah, I wonder if they kind of look back and regret on that record. You know, I mean, I would.
No kidding.
I'm not necessarily sure that, I mean, they'll probably never say it, but, you know, maybe in 10 years, you know, when time has passed. But
I mean, the opening track, Dump Truck, that should have been the album title.
Oh, was, God, that definitely should not have been the best song on the fucking record, huh?
No, it was.
But that aside, they were such a killer band live. Every time I saw them, blown away at how tight they were and how well they worked together as a band. But yeah, I love Full Blast Fuckery and Right to Rise.
And I can say that I was very jealous too, because in a very short window of time, you saw them, I would say collectively 10 times between Boba Flex and Wilson thus far.
Oh, easily, yeah, yeah. I'm glad I saw Boba Flex's last show here in the cities too, so I'm glad I made the effort to go out on a Sunday night. And old man not worry about Monday morning.
Yeah, let's play a Boba Flex song here. And there's one that I would like to feature off their latest album from about a year or two ago, Eloquent Demons. And it's a particular one that I think pretty much encapsulates everything about the band, from hooks to just the harmonizing and everything that goes into the band. And that is Say What You Will.
TV, yeah.
told you, I don't think we ever talked about it on air, but, you know, I've had a chance to interview Sean a few times. And I even asked him one time, you're still doing this for so long, you ever think about just saying fuck it? And he's like, every goddamn day. I mean, there was just that vibe to him that it was like he was done partying. You know, he didn't hang out after the shows like the like Marty would. He was just kind of like, it was like the signs were there is all I'm getting at. He held on, I think, probably a little longer than he wanted to.
A lot of these bands, too, I think what happens is, and I could see it, that he was super disappointed. They've played Denver every year, same place every time. And each time I go, there's not a single more person than there was before. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they're not
same
building
here.
A following.
Yep, yep.
So that's an issue, too. And I think the last concert ever they played was in Indianapolis. So a friend of the show, Rob, was there, and they said there's probably 75 to 100 people, and that was it. So it's just unfortunate. You can't build a community for whatever reason. It's you got to hang up your boots.
And by comparison, Wilson's last show is already sold out.
Yeah, and I heard that they're doing all three albums. I think they're doing them in order of release. You can leave early.
Well, I think that's why they're doing one show. They're doing three shows total, right?
I don't know.
They're doing one show where they play the whole Full Blast Fuckery record in a small room, and then they're coming out. They're basically doing two sets of a mix of the last two records. So they're going to fucking make you hang around to hear Windows Down.
Ah, oh, damn it. All right.
They still know how to do it, buddy. They're old pros. Ah.
So getting back to the Biters, you know, they're a straight-up rock band, uh-huh. You know, all the classical elements that you would need, and my top album, Electric Blood, of a couple years ago on my when we do the countdown,
yep.
Which is coming up. Get excited.
Yep.
Remember, Definitive Lift.
Definitive.
Definitive, yes. But, you know, the starting a new project, but it's Tuck and the Restless Hearts, which is actually named after one of the songs. So that is even a worse name than the Biters, I think.
I like the Biters. Did you not like that name?
Yeah, I did like that. I'm saying that he's changing it, and I think he has some of the same members of the band, and he's calling it, you know, like a solo project. It's almost like a featuring thing. Tuck. Yeah. And the Restless Hearts is like,
well, it's more like Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, or like I was just teasing Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Right. Look, really, really diehard music snobs always hate this, so I'm going to say it. Nobody cares about the "and." Okay, look, it's just there to probably appease the members of the band or do something. But yeah, I don't give a fuck about the Heartbreakers, Joan Jett. I don't care about Joan Jett though.
One, sure. But the worst one of all time, though, has to be Slash with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators.
Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators.
Well, whatever.
Or is it Slash and the Conspirators featuring Miles Kennedy? Yeah, that one is fucking garbage. That is all about, like, that is goddamn Pat Benatar with Neil Giraldo fucking level of, you know, appeasement. But back to Tuck Smith, I've heard some of the teaser tracks, which, again, just released a song already, but my God, it sounds smoking.
Exactly. So definitely some hope there, but I just don't understand the whole thing about switching things up.
They might have had a mountain of debt. You got to understand these things are probably built like a corporation. You all split up, and suddenly nobody has to pay anything, and now you can go on and do something and start fresh. It's probably as simple and boring as that.
It probably is.
Or,
I just looked up,
fuck those guys, I'm doing my own thing.
But I'm bringing people along from the previous band, too. So
well, that is probably the prior, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the prior. Also, because Electric Blood is now nowhere on iTunes or Spotify. So there's some kind of rights issue, too. Anyway, okay. So that one is Dead But Rising.
Thank God for streaming.
Well, we'll go into that later.
Yeah, that'll be a 2020 episode.
Yeah. So, but to you, speaking of rising.
Oh, you noticed my new pants. Red Sun Rising, you must be talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this one kind of caught me off guard because they didn't really say anything. And Mike Protek, I'm not even sure if I'm saying his name right, Protich or whatever, the singer from Red Sun Rising has been doing a bunch of solo shows, and he's got a couple of guys from Red Sun Rising with him. And the most official comment I could get was from a fan group that said they are on hiatus.
Hiatus, that's always the, that's almost like creative differences.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of like Wilson, a disappointing record, but not to the extreme of Wilson.
No. Had some good tracks on it still.
Yeah, it was at least kind of still in the vein of what they were doing. It wasn't like they switched gears altogether. Another great band, though. I mean, just a phenomenal live act. Maybe a little too pro, a little too polished at times, but man, delivered and sounded great every show I ever saw.
That's the whole thing too. Like you got to give respect to all these bands we just mentioned are great live.
Oh yeah,
so you've got.
I never got to see the Byers.
Yeah, I've seen. I've seen clips and I've known plenty of. I have people that respect their opinion. They've seen them live too. And
good enough.
Unfortunately, never. Yeah. So, but the point being is that I saw Red Sun Rising just once at that fest, you know, Northern Invasion. And it was funny because they'd have bands before and after that sounded, quote, the mix was bad, but as soon as they hit the stage, perfect. You know what I mean? And I did notice they had orange amps. But
yeah, I was just asking, what kind of amplifier did they have?
I'm saying that they just sounded perfect, harmonizing everything. They were a pro band, I hope they get back together. So they got plenty of potential.
I got to see them do like a little acoustic thing on the side, and they just killed it there too.
Yeah, so if you got, they're kind of in the Stone Temple Pilots zone.
Sure,
as far as slickness or whatnot. If you're interested,
that's where you're going. No, I don't think Stone Temple's that slick.
The imagery. I don't know.
I think music is somewhat comparable.
Album cover kind of reminds me of some Stone Temple Pilots.
So there, anyway. That's the album cover.
Huh?
Oh, that's great. The album cover is the same. So pretty much they are the same kind of band. Stone Temple
Pilots
was
exactly
kind of
right.
A train wreck quite a few times, to be honest with you. They had a reputation, you know. They're not the Replacements' reputation, but yeah, they weren't always the most in tune, in key, on time band. So
fair enough.
Yeah, anyway. Definitely not slick.
who wasn't slick? The Replacements?
The Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, I meant as far as their music on album. It doesn't matter. We can just let go.
Okay.
Hey, side thing. What do you think about people that jog at night with a big headlight in their head? Because I just saw one go by. I always find that amusing.
Now I know the kids ain't alright. How did we ever lose control? Now we're killing rock and roll. The kids ain't alright no more. The kids ain't alright no more. How did we ever lose control? Now we're killing rock and roll. Oh no. Now we're killing rock and roll. The kids ain't
So, Paco, I heard that all bad things don't come to an end.
Apparently not. They don't. Does this mean Chipotle has to close all its restaurants?
I know. I thought we did an episode, like that episode 19, where we were closing the book on this chapter.
I thought that we were too. And that, yeah, it's hard to believe that it's been 4 years since Motley Crue called it quits.
So long.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, but you're, of course, talking about the Motley Crue reunion announcement. They're going to be touring with Poison and Def Leppard. Before we get into the Motley Crue part, a quick question for you. Two part. The first part, does this tour do anything for you? And the second part is, am I the only person that is sad that Poison is going to be the most credible band on this tour?
How are they the most credible?
They're going to be, you know what? They can go out and every one of them can perform at their best now and sound probably pretty damn close to the way they sounded in their heyday. And you cannot say that about Def Leppard, and you sure the fuck can't say that about Motley Crue.
So what you're saying is the game plan to having long-term success is to set the bar low in the beginning.
I'm just saying, man, they can at least go out and do their thing and hold their head high. There's no shame. They haven't fucking made the biggest deal out of retiring that any band has ever done. And they may use backing tracks, but they don't fucking need them. That's for sure.
Well, and then, you also have to respect them, too. I mean, I've already seen some stuff on Twitter of Bobby Dahl practicing the beginning of Unskinny Bop and just nailing it.
Just like so you nail that joke every time you tell it. Yeah, right now Bobby Dahl's starting a podcast where he's going, yeah, I just heard Blues Cannon tell that same joke. And you know, it's like he's making jokes about how like you just kind of do layup jokes while you're...
He's just got a compilation of me dropping a joke. Jesus Christ! It's beat a dead bass player to death. But anyway, so going to that too. Yeah, I guess you're right on that end. But I do have to say, do you want me to answer the am I excited part about this?
Yeah, I mean, does this tour do anything for you?
This is my reaction when I saw it. I'm a little lathered up, but I'll just get to the basics first. When I looked at that, I'm like, wow, this is the most uncreative fucking pairing I've ever seen. Because every couple of years, it's almost like playing like the little
mermaid.
No, it's almost like the shell game, where you just keep moving things around. I've seen Def Leppard with Poison. Motley Crue has toured with Poison before. It's one of these things where I see two and I go, okay. And it's also odd, too, because Def Leppard always kind of gets a shaft, because when Def Leppard played with Kiss, for example, I think Def Leppard has sold legit more albums than Kiss than they were opening.
But it's about who's going to sell the tickets, and that stuff is pretty well dialed in.
I get that, but it's just interesting how all that works. And the thing that I'm excited about, too, though, is the fact that – do you remember – I don't know why it went away, but remember they had the Instant Live deal?
Oh, sure, yeah. I got one at a Kiss concert. You can hear me yelling, suck chow, between got to choose and something.
That's awesome for everybody to have. So I thought it was a really cool idea. So you could – the great thing about it is you leave the concert with something that you – the exact version of what exactly you just heard. And they're doing that on this tour, too, except they just hand you copies of their greatest hits. Because that's what you'll be hearing, people. Def Leppard is half caked in air. I mean, fucking Motley Crue. The only thing they don't – like I've ranted about. Please, lip sync, motherfucker.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Well, let's we'll get into some of the details and that stuff. But I have to get this out there. Literally, no. Look, this whole like, what did you guys expect? Of course they're going to come back. Blah 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 blah. All that stuff that people are saying. Like, I'm so smart because I waited till it happened and said, "See, I told you so." First of all, those kind of people, you really just need to get a fucking life. Go fuck yourself. I'm sorry that I'm capable of having an opinion and living a productive, you know, life where my bills are mostly paid. I actually have a bigger problem with this one. No band ever made any bigger issue about, like, we will never come back. This is look, I mean, I love that video of Mick Mars saying if we ever play a tour again, tickets are going to be free, is just making the rounds right now. But Phil Verone chimed in because he had something to tell the real fans about this whole thing, right? Now, Phil Verone, for those who don't know, was the drummer for Saigon Kick. I think his last gig was playing in Red Dragon Cartel. But he said this. I'm just going to read his statement on Facebook. Interrupt as you feel. I don't care. After the Motley Crue tour announcement, I was disgusted by the resentment and anger of so-called fans. And that's pretty much, I want to point that out, the highlight, so-called fans. That is the crux of what's pissing me off about what he's about to say. My 3 cents, he carries on. If you're angry that a band is going to tour, even after a farewell tour, then you're not a fan. Yeah, go fuck yourself. A fan would embrace the chance to see their favorite band again, no matter what the circumstances surrounding it. And then he goes into this long description about how bands are complicated. Being in a band is a full-time job. It's difficult when you're touring or recording. I don't expect fans to understand the dynamic of that. A band is made up of different members of different personalities, different egos, different addictions. Blah, 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 blah. None of that has anything to do with what we're talking about. If you love music, if you love Motley Crue, if you love concerts, then you're getting the greatest gift of all. I will never, ever, ever, ever understand. I think Bob Kulick helped him write that line. Now, someone using the moniker of fan can be angry about Motley Crue touring again. Contrary to popular belief, a band has enough problems dealing with the band than trying to mastermind a plan to betray its fans. The only betrayal I see from so-called fans talking shit about the band for that, shame on you. Oh, I don't know where to begin on this, but that irritates the fuck out of me. I hate this you're not a true fan kind of comments that anybody makes ever, but it's typically in some like little fanboy group. It's not from somebody like, you know, that's done this kind of stuff or is just clearly trying to kiss Motley Crue's ass for some backstage passes. I have a firsthand story I would like to share. Is that okay? My wife went to school in a very small town in southern Minnesota. I think it's called Freeborn. Who the fuck knows? Two of her friends that still live down there, they paid through the ass, like through StubHub and Ticket King, to get tickets to the very last Motley Crue show on New Year's Eve 2015, whatever it was, right, in L.A. Now, buyer beware, all that stuff, fine, whatever. But the reason they did that is because they were fans of the band from the beginning. And Motley Crue is one of those few bands that were kind of my band almost at inception. You know what I mean? From that era, especially. So I kind of relate to what these guys, even though I wouldn't have even paid tickets to see them in my town the 4 times they came through on that farewell tour.
Right.
But so they paid for airfare. They paid for hotels. They took time off of work. They were talking thousands of dollars here just so they could say to themselves, I was at the last Motley Crue tour. And I think a big part of that was they believed this pitch they were selling. No band has ever gone out of their way to prove to the people, unnecessarily, by the way, no one made them do any of this. They could have just gone out on the whole farewell tour, and I'd probably feel a little bit different about the people who got burned on this. Because I don't feel this way about Kiss fans. I don't feel this way about Ozzy fans. But Motley Crue made a special effort to stick it in your face that no fucking way are we ever going to be that fucking lame. And then, of course, there's some of the obvious things. Mick is dead and Vince can't sing. So it seemed like it all kind of lined up. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And guess what? Go to the show. Don't go to the show. Be happy about it. Don't be happy about it. But to anybody, especially somebody who's been in a band, to fucking tell somebody like, oh, you have an opinion I disagree with. You're not a true fan. Go fuck yourself, man. It's just a goddamn band. I think it's lame. I think it's fucked up. And I think they're fucking over people that probably don't deserve to get fucked over. And it isn't going to change a damn thing. And I'm aware of that. But you know what? Go fuck yourself, Motley Crue, and go fuck yourself, Phil Verone. I'm still a fan. You don't get to fucking dictate that.
Do you need a snack from all the yelling?
I need a towel.
You were quite loud enough. I thought I had a rant, and you took away almost all my...
The floor is yours.
But no, but listen, here's what I have to say. I'll play I'm going to take Phil's side on this, because I don't think you have the right to say this. Do you have any idea? We talk about Tommy Lee all the time being a couple bad financial decisions from playing Grimace at McDonald's, right?
In 4 years? Good.
In 4 years. You listen to me. I have heard reports that his financial advisor keeps showing up at his house, and his car keeps getting nicer and nicer, and he brings that statement over to Tommy Lee, and it looks like the balance sheet never rises.
The phrase savvy businessman is not something you think of when someone says Motley Crue.
So he is at... You know, so it keeps getting lower and lower, and this guy keeps getting richer. These are the people managing them. Yep. And by the way, I'm not sure if you have any elderly people in your family, but do you have any idea how much retirement homes cost?
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Do you know that all this stuff? I mean, Medicare. I mean, Mick Mars burnt through his Social Security probably 30 years ago.
Well, the next check's coming just a month away.
Yeah, and I mean, do you know how many people that Vincent has killed over his life and how much those lawsuits cost?
Oh, that's right. He's pretty much every one of his paycheck has to like be 80% like fucking court stipends, right?
That's right. He's going out of the way. He's got child support.
And you know what? Serious note, I seriously hope that's true. Anyway.
And the other part is that, and then also, I have nothing again funny to say about Nikki Sixx because he's boring. So I'm going to move past him. and go to the next thing is that you don't understand one thing, too. They could have not planned, and Phil is right. They have a right to go back, Baco, because they could have not planned on how many new fans they got from the movie The Dirt.
God.
That stirred up everything. And by the way, the only way I would watch this go to this concert is if the members from The Dirt were on stage lip-syncing the entire time. Because that is the band that these young idiots want to see.
I would love to see Machine Gun Kelly play the Tommy Lee on the role of Tommy Lee on this tour, yeah.
Yeah, and I guarantee you, if they do their tour right, they'll go through all the eras, just like they showed on The Dirt, which means they'll show Shout the Devil stage and then completely bypass the rest of the eras.
I just want like an intermission where, for some reason, the place turns into a VFW bar and Vince Neil is crying into a glass of whiskey or something.
Yeah, and the other part is, too, is that I'm not sure if you know this, but I would see the show, too, just because I want to see Vince Neil basically turn into a white red fox where he's just like grabbing his chest in between songs and doing the whole, this is the big one, I'm coming for you, Elizabeth, like Sanford and Son, because he is at that level. Every song, at the end, if they kick off,
you just alienated all the Gen X or all the millennials of that listen to our show.
Yeah, okay, well, that's true. They don't know what I'm talking about. But just imagine a man about to have a heart attack at the end of every song. That's all you need to know.
Oh,
because
man.
He is going to have one. Kickstart My Heart, that's what they're going to be having to do at the end of each song for you.
Yeah, it's going to be actually part of the show. They bring on a defibrillator.
The defibrillator comes out again.
Boom. We have started this band. Chicago, boom.
I am also glad, too, because we called it years ago, and this concert, I'm not sure, is sponsored by Chipotle.
Because if Chipotle could persuade America that 1,000-calorie burritos are healthy, and we actually did that, well, then we can do anything we damn well please.
Oh, yeah, all right on. The tour is Chipotle, and they're catering the entire trip.
Chipotle. What are you going to do, go to Taco Bell?
Yeah, but that's all I've got on that. I mean, I think your rant summarizes exactly what it is. Nobody signed a fucking document that said we are not going to tour anymore.
Yeah, I love, too, how they just blow it up. Like, that's how legal documents work. You just shred it, and then nobody can do anything. Yeah, I'm going to take my mortgage to the bank tomorrow, blow it up in the parking lot, and say, house is mine.
That's right. I don't owe anything because I use the power of my hands tearing the paper.
Boom, it's gone. Nothing you can do now. Yeah, the whole thing was just a fucking... Well, again, spare me with you. What did you expect? Okay, Einstein, I fucking expected exactly this. That doesn't mean it's okay, and it doesn't mean I can't fucking have a thought on it. Jesus.
Well, no, you're right on that. And I will tell you, too, is that the other thing is that I'm pissed about, too, is the unoriginality. These bands have toured in some incarnation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they must have the numbers, and that numbers is Netflix. Because I will tell you, I had people that I hadn't talked to in 10 years or more say, hey, man, you see this movie called The Dirt? On Netflix,
yeah.
I know you're a Motley Crue fan, so that did stir up some stuff. Whatever.
Well, look, of course it did, and it drew some new interest to their back catalog. All that stuff is real; it is legit. But I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
But I will go see them if they do their cover of Like a Virgin.
Oh, man. We should touch on the rumor was that the only thing they've openly denied while they were denying, kind of hinting that they weren't going to do this, was that apparently one of the stipulations was that Vince had to lose 40 pounds and Tommy
Not
had to
happening.
Go to treatment.
Let me tell you what's happening. If that happens, it's going to be all liposuction. They're going to hook him up to some vacuum, suck the both sides of him out with a fucking super Dyson. And at the end of it, he's going to blow up 40 pounds more because he's going to get road food and hit McDonald's and shit. But whatever.
The Vince I know is going to cut off a leg.
His dog's going to lose 40
pounds.
He's like,
boom! Contract honored, 40 pounds lighter.
All right, I got to get out of here, man. You ready?
Yeah, thanks for coming on tonight.
Rock's not dead.
But it's reunited, and it feels so good. Okay, that's roll the fucking tape.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.